Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CARLGREER.com. Welcome to Expedition Self on Om Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Perato. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Perato.
Well, hello, I'm Sam, and you have landed yourself on Expedition Self. Thank you for coming. Today's topic is, as I was thinking about the word to best describe it, is labyrinthine, kind of complicated. So I'm glad you're here because we're going to talk about belonging and separation of the self and our roots and our religion and race. I'm hoping to really weave it all together in a way that by the time we're done, you find yourself being able to say, okay, I get this. I think I get this. At least that's my hope. The twists and turns, right, will ultimately land at the inside of you, which, as you know, is our entire focus each week. So anyway, I was thinking about just the idea of getting on air and talking again. And I've been on the radio now for a while this year. And one of the things I always find myself wanting to do is to remind everyone that even when you're out trying to get so much done and you're asking people to help you and you're calling up, establishments that you utilize in your life, that you always want to remember that even if it's just a voice on the phone, it's also a person. And that those people, every person right now is having a huge experience. And so this is my just little plug on behalf of humanity to remind you that interacting with people, even sometimes if they don't act like they're all that human, it's important that that's what we bring. So, okay. What I want to say is if it does get a bit confusing, try to hang in there. You can also call in if it gets confusing and say, what are you talking about? At 202-570-7057. And hopefully I'll be able to bring it back around so it makes sense before we're all done. You know, it's always a bit challenging when I'm trying to link the external domain of life, all the doing and the interaction with the internal one, which is really your relationship with yourself. All right, so take a deep breath, find a comfortable place or whatever you're doing to listen, because we're going to talk about differences and similarities and what these things mean to the deepest, deepest parts of ourselves. Before we get into the conversation, I want to say that nothing I'm going to talk about is true or factual or based on some formal educated, methodology. It's really more about all the work I have done in my own world, but also with other people. And as I've watched human beings go about their lives, the conclusions that I've drawn, and I share them with you today more to have you think for yourself and prompt your own quandary about it, your own inquiry. So I feel like there is so much going on around this topic. And people are afraid to delve inside of it for the fear of offending someone or drawing out differences that we're not supposed to be generalizing about or for revealing some bias that we formed because of the life that we've lived. If we don't find a way to talk about what's going inside each of us, I just don't know how we grow and evolve, because the evolution of our society has to be based on the genuine and authentic shifting, the real, deep movement of our understanding of being human. And of course, this requires us to be safe enough to say, this is what I really think. And this is what happened that caused me to think this way. And it's I think it's gotten scary to do that now, because it looks like you're going to end up being in some territory that you really, you know, you don't want to find yourself in. So I'm going to talk about how important it is to start talking and questioning and exploring what's going on inside of you. Like, what do you get out of feeling a sense of belonging with any group or community? What do you get from that? How important do you think it is? And as we talk about that, I'm going to highlight some core self-development dynamics that I think go largely unnoticed. And I call it the separation within the self. And I want to link that to how that connects with our sense of belonging. Okay, I'm hoping that made some sense, right? We're going to look inside. We're going to link belonging with this part of ourself that I'm calling the separation. So as far back as I can remember, I wanted to know what I was made of. You know, what ethnic groups did I come from, and what made them special, and what were the qualities of the people I came from because of it? You know, I wanted to know, like, what was unique about them? And I'm making the assumption that I'm not alone in finding an early sense of self-identification with this part of being human. You know, I had a great-great-grandmother who was full-blooded American Indian. I had a great-grandfather who was full-blooded German. And there was a pretty decent smattering of English. And my mom's father, who was full-blooded Scottish. I got a lot of mileage out of that. I was like, this is who I am. This is where I come from. It meant something to me. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about myself than I normally do, because I feel like it's a good foundation for the conversation. So it meant something to me. The history of each of these peoples and their countries became mine. You know, I identified with them, thinking I was the long lost daughter of their enclave and their space and spot in the world. And I would look around at people who came from other groups and feel jealous and envious as I associated like certain qualities with their background, what I thought they were, you know, affiliated with. And in that, those conclusions and stereotypes that I drew, right? This happened from the time I was out in the world. Like at a year old, I noticed differences. I think it came from a place of wanting to understand my world and a place of wanting to be someone who had special things, right, about me, like trying to figure out where I fit and what was mine that I could use to claim a space, you know, something that I was entitled to. So these observations about me and others, you know, I was blonde-haired and light-skinned. Looking around at who was in my family and what did they look like? What were they bonded to? I noticed that everyone talked about their people, whether it was their heritage or their culture or their family members or their ancestors. I think it was in everyone's talking. I want to share with you a funny story about belonging and attachment that happened when I was about, I suppose I was like 2.5 or so. So I was standing in this line at preschool waiting to do something. And there was a little friend standing with me, and we were talking about music and what our favorite songs were. And I proudly announced that my song was "These Boots Are Made for Walking" by Nancy Sinatra. And I don't remember whether I actually had boots on that day, but, and she said, "Oh, that's my song too." I said, "You can't have my song. That's my song. Only I can have my song." And I remember feeling all kinds of claim and possessiveness when I declared that only I could have this song since I spoke it first. I think this is what I'm asking you to notice in yourself. Is your claim, your possession over what made you feel unique or as if you mattered and had a place in the world? Like, what gave you value? What tied you to this earth and your body and your lifetime. I had this, one of the other things that happened is I had this secret joy knowing that Indian Day in Arizona also happened on my birthday. It was like I got a little piece of that for myself, like I was a part of that too. Like all these little things I was collecting, right? So that I would have a sense that I fit, I was wanted, I belonged here at this time, right? I'll bet you know your ancestors' stories. And I bet those stories aren't just tied to the idea that they lived, right? Like, were they connected to the location that they occupied in the world, like the place? Because I know I wanted to know where I came from and what made them unique and how I was a part of that. And the land was actually attached to it for me. Now, I don't know whether this is true for you. I'm really kind of sharing because I'm hoping that it's opening some things up for you. So my mind started latching onto qualities that I wanted to be true about me. And I started noticing what seemed like qualities associated with other groups of people. Some of it, you know, was just attached to a family. There was this family who lived across the street, the Bowers. For me when I was, I think I was seven or so, and they had four or five kids, and they seemed like this really close-knit family. And they were the pretty ones, and they had these, you know, the socks that are like short, they're, you know, like their booties, you know, they don't come up very high. Well, they got to wear those on their feet rather than just plain old socks. You know, I was never invited into their home. I only saw them at the front door, opening it for some reason or another in their booties. I rode my bike around their house. You know, I don't know what their nationality was or their religion, but I did start to form an idea that they were in the group that had money and that that group bought booties. And I noticed that I didn't have them. So I'm going to kind of keep building this because I'm hoping that you will find yourself in your own moments that match up to mine. When I was 5 years old, I'd wake on my own on Sunday mornings. I'd get in my Sunday dress and I'd take myself to a church down the road. I can't tell you why I did this, but I'm pretty sure that my sense of belonging was pushing me to go be with people who were gathered, right? And of course, I like to dress up. Gave me a place to go. So I did this for a number of Sundays. I don't really remember, gosh, how long. Until the people at the church noticed that I was coming without my parents. And they would start to talk to me and tell me that I needed to bring my family. And then, you know, one week they told me I needed to bring my family or they were all going to hell when they died. Now, this was super important. So I got very scared for them and I went home crying about what would happen if they didn't go with me. And then I didn't go there anymore, right? Because it wasn't a fit for how we saw the world at the time. So your stories about belonging, your stories where you have sought to attach, your history that had you claim your place in the world and on this planet. I think when we're part of an ethnic group or we align with a religion or a family, we get this instant status and the stories and the experiences of that group become ours. And that's then how we begin to relate to the world. They start to form our sense of culture in which we live. And then, of course, they bump up against our innate sense of being human that is unique to each of us. So one person may, you know, you might be very attached to justice and what is fair, where another person might be attached to inclusion and participation, or somebody else might have see all the characteristics and the elements of suffering that happened in their group that they were connected to. So when we begin to take in these stories and place ourselves in these stories, we then feel the stories inside of who we are and the growth themes that we're going to be working with in our lifetimes. And yes, I'm absolutely saying you have a unique growth theme something you're paying unique attention to, special attention to, a place that you only, you know, the way you see it is, has more thought and more depth because it's connected to what's inside your belly. So see, my story over a lifetime, it has a lot to do with fitting in no group. Right? I didn't really fit into any of my family groups on my mother's side or my father's side. I didn't have an ethnic majority in any group. I never really belonged to a church, even though I visited a bunch of different ones all of the time. And, you know, when I heard the stories of my family members, it seemed like I was the child of the, you know, quote unquote black sheep, or those who felt like they were on the fringe in their family tree. So this is one of the things I want you to think about today. Where did you fit? And what information about the various clusters that you could fit in did you gravitate towards? And what were the characteristics that went with them? What were the qualities you wanted to be associated with? And what were the nature of those stories? The nature of the living that went on with those people that were in those groups for you. All right, so when we come back from break, we will pick up on that question, which is where did you fit and what information did you gravitate towards?
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, you are listening to me, Sam Parado, here on Expedition Self, and we're talking today about belonging and roots and race and religion and how that fits with the connection of inside the self. And Diane is back to talk about, I hope you're in the place to talk about what where you fit, right? And what kind of information you were gravitated towards. I didn't get that out so well, but welcome.
Oh, thank you. So this is a really fascinating subject that you're going to talk about today. And I found myself, I wonder if this is why I have a desire to get to send in my DNA and find out where I actually came from, or that I want to fill out the paper to have a star in the sky and find out where that star is. I don't know that I actually felt that I was a part of the group when I was growing up, any group, but I found myself joining things. I became a part in the play, or I was a song leader, but I didn't feel like when the song leaders went to lunch, I wasn't a part of them. I was a part of the group, but I didn't feel that I identified with the other five girls. And I felt kind of lonely as I went through life. I still kept joining, and I certainly have some wonderful friends, but I don't know that I could answer the question that I did. I really felt like I fit in somewhere.
Well, I really appreciate how you just shared all of that, because that inquiry that you're doing in your mind and what you're thinking about is the very essence, right, of this piece, which is
right.
Where did you feel like you fit? And you're saying, well, I don't know that I felt like I fit anywhere, but
right.
I certainly kept trying, you know?
Right, right.
And,
I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I like you, went to church, but I still, you know, after Sunday was over, I went back to being all by myself, you know? So that's why I said this is very interesting.
Well, and the thing about that, you can definitely be one of the stars, you know, if you buy one of those, or the idea of the DNA, it so appeals to our sense of belonging that we have people that we're connected to somewhere in the world, and we get to discover it because of it. So it makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate you talking about the lonely piece of it, because I do think that's one of the things that why belonging matters so much to us, is that the flip side of it is it produces loneliness when we don't have it. So thank you for bringing that out.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Okay. So, I'm thinking that everybody has something that they could share about this. So I do want to give you the phone number in case you found yourself wanting to participate in the conversation yourself. It's 202-570-7057. So when you say, where did you fit and what information about these clusters do you gravitate towards? It tells you a lot about what is driving you and what's important to your sense of self. And this matters because we're in a time when things about your culture and your race and your religion and your ancestry are all now being shifted around. And in some ways, the parts of each that you felt aligned with can now be seen as limiting or constraining or causing others to feel marginalized in some way. And so I think it's really, really confusing. So, you know, the very thing I found belonging in is the very thing now that's being rethought or dismantled. And when this happens, we all have different ways of handling it, different ways of reacting and responding. You know, some people get very angry and intense and they fight about it, hold on to their differences, and others retreat and try to avoid the conflict that can arise. And of course, others just ignore it, right? And try to go on living their life, believing what they always believed. Our identity and our sense of self is based on the very things that are now being challenged as part of systemic problems that our society is facing. And I want to shore up the places where you recognize that you are from somewhere, that you do have a place in the world. And to the degree that your alignment with your roots may be causing you to rethink yourself or others, it's firstly about your growth and your freedom and empathy for your path, the one that you've walked on to bring yourself to this moment, where you actually held on and attached. Those things were important to forming yourself to this moment, and they still matter inside of that. So, you know, I went to a Mormon church a couple of times. You know, I love that people stood up and spoke about their feelings, and even the young ones talked about their spirituality. And I watched many of the families of the Mormon community, and I wanted what those siblings seemed to have together. What is so interesting is that I didn't grow up to choose an organized religion because ultimately it felt too confining to me. And the friends that I have that did, well, they're connected and they do feel like they belong inside of that community. So on my path, even though belonging was such a driver for me, I actually didn't choose that a lot of times. Your race, your religion, your family, your hobby group, your ancestors' home, These are essential attachment places that we all pursue at some level. And they produce our stories, the ones that shape our sense of relationship to life. So the thing about these stories is they're not all good stories, and they're not supposed to be, right? They're drama and they're ups and downs. So right here is where the mind really starts to notice like the obvious differences or similarities, things that can be pointed to in really tangible ways. A tall person versus a short person, a person with dark skin and a person with light skin, a born-again Christian versus a Unitarian. So while we're wanting this union to be part of a clan, to share in life with people we relate with, we're also separating from others at the very same time and having an experience that goes with it. So the ethnicity, an Italian or a Jewish person or a Polish person or a Puerto Rican, all of these unique life experiences that are based on ethnicity and the location on the planet, the characteristics around what we eat and the way we speak, we need these differences. And we need them to be whole, become whole inside of ourselves. Because, you know, as we develop, these differences are also producing separations. And these separations are not so great for our citizens of the world, especially if we move into judgment and anger and hostility and places where people then feel like they're less than or they're not privileged. So as I would drive across country and listen to my grandmother tell me about her childhood and coming across the Arkansas territory in a covered wagon, there was often a challenge or a bad guy at play in those stories. Sometimes the bad guy was the weather, right? Some giant earthquake that swept her whole house away and only left the bathroom that she was in. But sometimes it was a world event that happened and people found themselves in a skirmish of some kind. You know, where they were in one group facing off with people in another group. You know, there are heroic stories, and then there are the stories that talk about family members who were the bad ones. I put that in quotes. And, you know, this branches out from the family. And then there's talk about the land and the power sources, like who held the power, who had it go a certain way, and who felt disadvantaged, put down. Do you know, in my little town that I grew up in during World War II, the Asian people were put in a concentration camp. And there were still remnants of the walls of where they lived that you could see, you know, when you drove into the valley. When I lived there, we had one Asian family and they ran a little market called Yi's. I never put the two together. I never got to ask whether they were descendants of people who were imprisoned there. But can you imagine their story if they were? Who the heroes and the protagonists or the villains were and theirs. You see, these differences that create separation, that are the basis for our human dramas, are really also the basis for bringing us together. But the problem with this is that oftentimes, when we try to talk about what it was really like to be in our enclave or in our clan or in our cultural group, we're angry and want to blame someone for the parts of the story that didn't go well. And this gets to be very difficult. So now, right? Now that the soil is getting turned over and the suffering of people is starting to be a big part of the conversation to challenge the status quo, we have to still hold tightly to the idea that we also get a sense of belonging and identity from being in these groups, even if there's negativity attached to it. Even if there's negativity attached to it, it's kind of like you're holding water on both shoulders. You're appreciating how it's part of who you are and what you need and your sense of being and identity. And you're also recognizing that there's negativity with it and that that's something that we actually want to look at and open up and make room for conversation about without getting offended. See, we need to have reverence for the idea that we don't want to strip away the foundation we've built ourselves on, But we want to expand our sense of community or inclusion to go beyond that. Okay, I'm gonna say it one more time, a little bit slower. We need to have reverence for the idea that we don't want to strip away the foundation we've built ourselves on, right? Our uniqueness, our roots, our ancestry. But we also want to expand our sense of community or inclusion to go beyond that. We need to have reverence for the idea that we don't want to strip it away. And this is really hard when we're angry and blaming and finger pointing towards whole groups of people. And it's super challenging to sort out, though, isn't it? Because we ourselves are aligned with these clusters of people for the same reasons. Ethnicity, family, culture. So it's hard then not to look outward for the same in others. And of course, the more groups come together to have a voice, to push back or raise something, to create something different, then it makes others, maybe us, maybe you, definitely me, feel more at risk. We start to feel like we're the problem, and we don't even really know how it got to be that way. Or we push the idea that we're not the problem off, and then we don't get to come together and really talk about how we got to this moment. So, big breath. So why is this such a big deal, right? When I think about growth, well, it's because we're all part of some group, some stereotype, some community that makes us feel like we belong and we matter and we have a place in the world. We all are. And the minute we feel all of that, then we're participating in someone else feeling separate from us. And that's always gone on. That's always happened. So we have our needs being more or less met. And it's at the expense of someone else without us realizing this. Potentially, possibly, likely. And so the seeing the world through this lens of groups and culture and ethnic background and religion is a most normal and it's a typical way for us to grow up. So, wow, right? We're at a time right now when we're being asked to undo how we came to be who we are in some way, to rethink all of it, to unravel the stories, to listen for everyone's experience in it, not just our own, and to begin to figure out how to become one world of people with an identity that is unique to us, that we can celebrate in, but that doesn't separate one group from another. So I'd like you to think of it this way. I want you to visualize this, okay? So if you stripped yourself right now of every bit of what makes you you, and your sense of identity and belonging had only to do with the idea that you are connected to circles of people around you. Picture that the first circle are those that you're most close to, that you spend the most time with. And then imagine those circles expanding, right? They get larger and larger until they include people who live in your state, but you don't know. And beyond that, they include people that live 1,000 miles away. And the circles keep going until there's no space left between one corner of your circle and the other. How could you allow yourself to just be in that? The idea that you are simply one human being going through your life and having experiences about power and love and fear and suffering and subjugation and creativity, that you didn't have to associate any of what happens to someone else's community of belonging, but rather to just them as another person having experiences. What would happen? where we just connect person to person, but celebrate our differences, but not feel separate. This is what's being asked of us as human beings right now. To hold on to the truth of how we've come to be who we are, to recognize our deep need to belong, and to let go of the biases, the preconceived notions, and the stereotypes we've associated with those stories so that we can actually challenge humanity as a whole. Really challenge it as a whole so we can actually push our humanity beyond those original pieces of personal framework and make room for people, ourselves and others, to express themselves in fuller and freer ways. So how do you do this? How do you begin to look inside and start to work from a new place, knowing how important these distinctions were to your development, and begin to question them in a new way? When we come back from break, I'm going to go into how we might do that. How do you begin to look inside?
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Well, we're back. I'm Sam Parado. You're listening to Expedition Self, and we are talking about belonging and roots and race and religion and separation within the self today. And before we went on break, I posed the question, which is, how do you begin to look inside, knowing how important these distinctions were to your development, and begin to question them in a new way? Well, all right, so we're going to go back to the beginning of you and talk about how you separated within yourself when you were very young. So up to this moment in the show today, we've really been talking about how you see yourself and then how that's played out in the world and then how you've connected with other groups and identifying with those. Now we're going to go all the way inside you, way, way, way back. See, at some point when you were a child, and then again, many times over, there was a moment when your experience of life was bigger than you could handle or process or understand. And when that happened, one part of you went one way, zip, and one part of you went the other. So this inner separation, it happens as a coping mechanism for the psyche, for dealing with surprise, overwhelm, shock, or fear. And when this happens, you begin to manage the inside of you with a set of distinctions and values so you can be safe in the world. And I want you to know this happens at 3 months old, at 10 months old, at 2 years old. It's not even verbal a lot of times. It's done really at an instinctive level. So I want you to think about the relationship between being safe, which includes physical, emotional, intellectual safety, and your sense of belonging. So there's a lot to say here, because in truth, if we don't have a sense of belonging, it's likely we don't feel safe. So this split I'm talking about, it starts to take on a life of its own. And as we interact with others, since we're interdependent, all of us, feedback starts to reinforce this split that's taking place within the self. I'm hoping you're hanging with me here, because this is when it gets a little confusing. So this is an aspect of you that begins to look superior or more desirable to another aspect of you. This is when one part of you seems to put you at risk and another part of you seems to keep you safe. Or this is when one part of you decides that it's too overwhelming or scary to actually stay connected with another part of you. Like it just literally goes and it parts. So when this happens, the split within the self becomes a very real source of your daily experience. It starts driving it without you really knowing it. So it occurred for me when I was very young, and it was a moment when there was anger in the space and kind of intensity, and it caused my serious studious side to kind of become the bad guy, like the drip, you know, and then my social engaging, more like, you know, couldn't wait to relate, extroverted side, it took the lead. And they had a very difficult relationship to work out in my lifetime, because each aspect felt as if it was the one that should be in the lead. So I know, you know, we live in a society where the split personality is a diagnosis. So before you start feeling like that's what I'm talking about, I'm really not. I'm saying that within the self, we're always working with many aspects of who we are, parts of ourselves, and these are actually in a relationship. So when this split within the self happens, there's a belonging issue that actually starts right then within us. So it looks like we're reaching for belonging outside of us, but actually there's something going on inside of us that has to do with belonging to ourselves. Wow. So when I talked earlier about our need to belong, I'm now saying that this need to belong is actually more pronounced because we stop including all the parts of ourselves as wanted and valid. And then, of course, this does happen. This is real life, right? We start to get feedback from our parents, our families, you know, the world we live in. And it seems to support the split in the self. So with me, I got a lot of feedback from my mom in support of my, you know, engaging, get out there, create and relate self. And I got a ton of support from my grandmother, from my serious self. She didn't like all that party stuff going on. And the more I felt unsafe in the world and in my family, the more I allowed those aspects to operate separately. And the more I did that, the more I needed to belong. And the more other groups would look like they had something I didn't. And I would feel more separate from belonging to those groups. I'm hoping that little equation I just did makes sense, right? The more that happened inside, the more it was validated on the outside. The more I sought from the outside, the more I sought from the outside, the more separate I felt. So this is a complex thing I'm trying to describe here, right? I'm saying that when we separate within the self, then we see ourselves as separate from the outside world. And when this happens, lots of potential biases and conclusions and stereotyping and judging can happen. We judge ourselves at some level, right? And we're judging others. And this occurs because we actually lose wholeness within ourselves. So remember that this show is all about going inside. So what I'm trying to do today is have you connect with that place inside you when you stopped including all of you in your sense of self. And when that happened, you began to search out ways to belong to the various groups or communities in your life. And the more you aligned with any of those groups, it's possible that the more you then separated yourself from others. Right? That when you go towards something, you also move away from something. So now we're trying to bring the world together in a oneness kind of way. And yet as human beings, we're not conscious of what started the cycle to begin with. And without realizing it, we make each other unsafe in new ways because the lid is off and we're trying to stand in creating something different. You're at risk now because all those stories that supported your sense of belonging, the ones that rely on race and religion and culture as a basis for why life goes the way it does for you, are now at the very center of your distance from others. Boy, I don't know. I think we're going to hold on for everything we've got because of that. So this separation within yourself is a great place to start, because if you can get in touch with the hierarchy that lives within you, the parts that don't get along or feel aligned, then you're going to be able to close that same gap in the external world with people you feel misaligned with or you feel separate from. People who are on opposite political sides, people who have differing vaccination viewpoints, people who see systemic racism differently than you do. These are all moments to close the divide, to lessen that separation within yourself and bring that to the world. Have you ever met someone or even yourself who says, "I don't hurt anyone," and then in the next hour they're taking action that's clearly hurtful? Or maybe someone who says, "I never say what I really think," and then you hear them telling someone directly to go do something that they want. This is what separation of the self looks like. It's aspects of the self overriding each other so that it actually seems as though you're talking and acting out of both sides of your mouth. And of course, however you relate on the inside of you is how you will relate on the outside of you. So to take this one step further, have you ever thought about how someone's behavior drives you crazy? Like maybe they're lazy or they don't do what they say they're going to do. And then somewhere down the road, you realize you do the very same thing. Again, this is what the separation of self produces. We usually can only see one side at a time. So the key to working with this is to think about where that separation started and what it produced and what you have a reaction to in others so that you can go find it in yourself. You also want to look at how did you arrange yourself to belong or be included? What parts of yourself have you played up so that you could feel safe within the community where you exist? Where is your original voice inside of that? Because remember, I mentioned that everything is about feeling safe for us. And the more we don't feel safe, then the more we'll separate within the self. We'll seek to belong more fully and then create separation with others. So if you want to find the aspects of the self that decided to go their separate ways, then find the moments when you didn't feel safe. It'll be right there. So from a growth and development standpoint, there's a lot of power in understanding the places where you separated inside yourself, because you can start to value your presence, your embodiment of you simply for what it is. You know, my favorite phrase, right? You have value simply because you breathe. We're here again, right? Your need to belong doesn't have to drive you so hard. And you can allow that need to slip and make room for a new way of thinking about being in the world. You know, you can begin to look at what you distinguished and latched onto as a way to have identity. And you could loosen your hold on that. And of course, when you do that, you can make more room for other people to have a unique experience that includes suffering and difficulty and challenge without getting defensive. Because you see, you'll now recognize that their identity is tied to their story. And they can have this story that includes being different and suffering and heroic, and it doesn't make you to blame. But rather, it makes you a fellow participant and sojourner in this lifetime. Well, so that's pretty much what I wanted to say today. That's kind of where I wanted to go. I'm hoping that you were able to hang in with the twists and turns. Some of them were hairpin turns. And that you really spend some time thinking about where that separation within the self occurred for you. And also how important belonging is. And then how all of that's connecting with what's happening in the world right now, where other people in other communities are wanting to be heard in a different way. So I found the most amazing poem, and it's kind of long, so I wanted to leave a little time for it. And it's called Identity, and it's by Angela Trudell Vasquez. So it's going to take a little bit, so settle in, and hopefully this will help the hour feel complete. Okay, big breath. White Mexican looks like a Latina, not my label. A question from a Guatemalan student who's come undone in my ESL class. Doesn't get my kind. I try to describe how I grew up in Caucasian corn country, surrounded by houses on cul-de-sacs that all looked the same. How we were alone in a town of 5,000. One black family, one Indian family, one Asian family, and one household of Mexicans. No, two. Us and the Renterias, to whom we were related by marriage before and after my divorce. And they were mixed. Still, it was a good living, happy in our cocoonness, our oneness, separated by money. One direction, color on the other. Classes, 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 day and night we took lessons. Piano, jazz, tap, ballet, the dance team, trumpet, trombone, tennis, finishing school, and one awful summer golf. Christened, confirmed, catechismized. It all cut me in several places, molding of head and heart, making me ultra-sensitive, then and now. An observer of the outside, an outsider among my own kind, my very shade, mysterious, aloof, black-haired beauty who can't speak Spanish, living among blue-eyed, dyed blonde bombshells, who held her head higher because she's shy, not stuck up. Understood, undenied, sacrificed to at any price by my beloved little brown parents who taught me well, gave up so much so their daughters could shine and they'd swell with pride at the life they had given us. On Sundays, we basked in mutual admiration after Mass, singing our church songs while making breakfast, according to the unspoken doctrine in our house of fast first, eat later after communion. We intruded with our Mexican music, bellowing out the open windows, the smell of bacon frying, pancakes baking, coffee and eggs scrambled to order. It wafted out on beautiful summer mornings out of our house in Pleasant Hill, Iowa, perched on the highest spot one could reach on the east side of the street for first and second generation immigrants. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Thank you for being here with me in Expedition Self, and I hope you loved that poem as much as I did.